Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20, where God's covenant is located. We know them as the Ten Commandments. God refers to them elsewhere as his covenant. Exodus chapter 20, we'll be looking at verse 13, where the sixth commandment is to be found. We'll do that right after reading our catechism lesson for the day. And that's in your bulletin, questions 68 and 69. Allow me to ask you, first of all, what's the sixth commandment? No. You're being very good in reading from the bulletin, but I asked you, what's the sixth commandment? That's not in the bulletin. I intentionally left it out. Yeah, you shall not murder. All right, you shall not murder. Very good. All right, now, what is required in the sixth commandment?
The sixth commandment.
And what is forbidden in the sixth commandment? Sixth commandment, thank you. Go ahead. Very good. That's 2 weeks in a row. I put typos. I trust you'll forgive me. All right, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. 3 points to the sermon this morning, which I've entitled No Murder, which is the literal translation of the Hebrew there in verse 13. No murder, literally. And the 3 points are the commandment, secondly, the culture, and thirdly, the Christ. The commandment, the culture, and the Christ. Very short, only 2 words in Hebrew, the sixth commandment in verse 13 there. No murder. But we need to ask this morning, what does this mean? There is much confusion over this, sadly, even in the Christian church today. We want to consider, how does that apply today in its various dimensions? And what does Jesus Christ have to do with the sixth commandment, no murder? So, first of all, the commandment. It's stated in the negative, and negatives in the Bible imply the positive, and which is why in our catechism lesson we have what's required and what's forbidden. But it's stated in the negative, no murder. So what is it that is forbidden? Well, we read here, it forbids the taking away of our own life or to take unjustly the life of our neighbor. The second table of the law, the second half of the Ten Commandments, deal with loving our neighbor. The first half dealing with loving God. So we are forbidden to take life, human life, unjustly. Now, if I could just, for the sake of time, clear some confusion with respect to this. What's not forbidden is self-defense, all right? If you're in Exodus 20, turn over to Exodus chapter 22. Self-defense is not forbidden. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 2 and 3, if a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. If somebody breaks into your house and you kill them, all right, that's considered self-defense. It is not a crime, nor is it a sin. Verse 3, but if the sun has risen, there shall be blood guilt for him. He shall surely pay. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Very interesting distinction being made there, whether this break-in occurs at night or during the day. The point simply is that self-defense is not forbidden here, nor is capital punishment. Capital punishment comes from the Latin term capus, for head. That is, it is a punishment that costs you your head or your life. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. We read here, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man his blood be shed. And then the rationale, very important here when we consider the subject of capital punishment. It is not only a deterrent. You hear this when criminal justice people talk about these matters. It is not because it is a deterrent, but why? For God made man in his own image. It is precisely because a human being is made in the image and likeness of God that when their life is taken, or when they take a life, sorry, their life is required in response. So that's not forbidden by the sixth commandment, because it is taking life unjustly. To take the life of a murderer is a just punishment, according to the Bible. The punishment is to fit the crime. That is justice. And of course, you have this in the New Testament in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. We won't look at it this morning. Nor is war forbidden by the sixth commandment. War is not forbidden by the sixth commandment in neither the Old or New Testaments. There are many in certain segments of the Christian church that want to advocate being totally pro-life, and therefore you have to be opposed to war, or totally pro-life, and we have to be for peace. After all, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But the fact is that God describes himself in the Bible as a warrior. And in the Psalms, the psalmist says, he trains my hands for war. And God sent Israel to war. Somewhat controversial subject for another time. But Christianity is responsible for the development of what is known as a just war theory, establishing a number of criteria based on the Bible for when it is right to go to war and when it is wrong to go to war. And we won't get into that today for another time as well. So what is it that is forbidden then? Well, a premeditated, intentional taking of innocent life is murder. Premeditated, intentional taking of innocent human life is murder. Manslaughter is non-premeditated taking of innocent life. Accidental taking of human life, that's manslaughter. That is also forbidden. The penalty for it is less than it is for premeditated murder, though. Reckless homicide, involuntary manslaughter, these are categories which the Bible proffers and submits to us as things that are forbidden by the sixth commandment, but it makes distinctions about them. In Deuteronomy 19, and you can look this up later, the intention of a person in that act is taken into consideration as to what kind of a violation of the sixth commandment it is. All right, so the commandment forbids the taking of human life unjustly, but it doesn't forbid some of those other things. Well, what about culture? And this is where I really want to spend our time this morning. Because we could look back at Israel and we could look at illustrations and examples from the Bible about Israel, and we could talk about other things, but we live in the 21st century in New York City in the United States of America, and we should be aware that this has to do with issues that are circulating in our culture and society today. And three I want to address this morning are suicide, abortion, and euthanasia, all of which are somewhat hot topics in cultural discussions today. The sixth commandment forbids suicide. It prohibits suicide. The catechism says, in question 69, the sixth commandment forbids the taking away of our own life. Why? Because that's considered self-murder. There are five examples in the Bible of suicide, and you can look these up later. We won't look at each one this morning. In Judges chapter 9, in 1 Samuel 31, in 2 Samuel 17, in 1 Kings 16, and of course Judas in Matthew chapter 27. In addition to that, when Jonah and Job asked God to take their life, they're asking for God to kill them. God considers such requests unfavorably. So suicide is self-murder. It is a forbidden by the sixth commandment. Now, I hasten to add that suicide is not the unpardonable sin. All sins can be forgiven. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it is forbidden. And we do not promote the idea of taking one's own life. And yet in our society, we see that this is increasingly the case. 13 reasons. Anybody hear that? 13 reasons. Is a Netflix produced film about teen suicide. This young teenage girl commits suicide and leaves behind 13 tapes or consisting of it reasons why she committed suicide. And this is actually being promoted in certain schools to teach children, not to kill themselves, but to teach them about suicide. And it's become somewhat controversial. One man I know has gone into a public school in another state and actually seen signs posted for the students. Suicide is wrong. You don't have to kill yourself. These kinds of things being proffered to the students because students are considering suicide. The teen suicide rate in our country is higher than it has ever been. What we can attribute that to, we could discuss and perhaps debate. I have my own thoughts about that, but that would take us a little bit afield from our consideration this morning. Simply say to the sixth commandment prohibits suicide, all right? Secondly, the sixth commandment, no murder, prohibits abortion. Look at Psalm 139. We'll do just one verse reference here without an extensive, elaborate examination of biblical teaching on abortion. But Psalm 139 and verse 13, David says, "You formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb." Life is a product of God's work. It's why we consider the birth of children to the Contreras's. One of the reasons why we consider that to be such a blessing. God bestowed life. God did a miracle. God took a man and a woman. He took a seed and an egg. And there was conception and there was life. And out of that zygote came a child. And that child is born into the world. And anybody that has either seen or experienced or undergone the birth of a child knows what an absolute miracle it is. But here David tells us that God knit him together in his mother's womb, formed his inward parts. It is an unmistakable fact of science, all right, and I want to underscore an unmistakable fact that life begins at conception. Though disagreed with, though disputed, the science is irrefutable. Life begins at conception. And yet we have ethicists at Ivy League schools, such as Peter Singer at Princeton University, saying that even newborn children are not to be deemed persons with rights as human beings. That may not occur, he says. I heard him debate here in Manhattan a couple of years ago. It was quite shocking. He is more in favor of animal rights than he is of children's rights. Because he says that they are not persons. Personhood comes only after months or in some cases even years. And just to be somewhat personal about this, our youngest child, Abigail, had some difficulties at birth, and we were instructed by our pediatrician to take her to a pediatric neurologist. And we did, and we went there, and he said to us, "She's not a person yet. A newborn child, fully formed, nothing except a problem that we were having there." But I was shocked by his statement, is that she was not considered a person yet. And he said, "Wait for her to develop a few more months before she actually becomes a person." Thankfully, he treated her. But this is this is wrong. And of course, this is built on faulty facts as well. The Supreme Court decision, which legalized abortion in every state in America, was built on lies. It's just common knowledge. This is not my opinion. I was just reading about it this morning. It was built on lies. Jane Roe, the woman in Roe v. Wade, later on recanted her testimony, repented and became a Christian, and said that she was lying. And the facts that some 500,000 women in America were dying from backyard abortions or back alley abortions was another lie. It was just not true. And Sandra Day O'Connor, who was a Supreme Court justice, admitted as much subsequent to the decision. Would she review and revise her decision? No. The Bible says that a person is body and soul and made in the image of God with a right to life. And also euthanasia, or what is referred to euphemistically now as mercy killing, is forbidden by the Bible. Look at Psalm 41 and verse 1. Psalm 41 and verse 1. Blessed is the one who considers the poor, in our ESV, if you look at the footnote reference there, the number one, and look down, the weak, the sickly. Blessed is the one who considers the weak, the sickly. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him, not kills him. There are many problems we could mention with the laws themselves. They require a diagnosis of a terminal disease or illness that will end your life in 6 months. But even in my personal pastoral experience with people that have been put into hospice care, which is usually also the last 6 months of life, I have seen people live for years in hospice care, a year or more, 2 years sometimes. People that have been given a diagnosis that their life is going to end in 6 months don't always get an accurate diagnosis. Many of these laws don't require notification of family members. They don't specify which kind of doctor must diagnose you. An EMT could give you a 6-month diagnosis. This would allow you to pick up your suicide drugs at your local pharmacy and administer them on your own. And of course, there are ethical problems, not just legal problems. How can we try to prevent suicide among teenagers and young people if we're encouraging it amongst the sick and the elderly? Now, of course, we're not talking about the termination of treatment here, but the termination of life, right? There are cases of what's called passive euthanasia. Sorry to get into the ethical weeds here, but passive euthanasia is, if you're going to die, do you want extraordinary measures taken to keep you alive? And of course, if someone has lived a long life, they may well just desire to depart and be with Christ, which Paul says is better by far, and therefore sign an agreement that they don't want extraordinary measures taken to keep them alive in a catatonic state or one thing or the other. They're simply pleased to go and be with the Lord. It's a very interesting indication of unbelief and lack of faith in our society. Something like 75 to 90% of money spent on healthcare in America today is spent on the last year of life. Some extraordinary statistic. People cling to life and will do anything for one more day, one more week, one more month. Whereas as a Christian who knows that death is not the end, it's simply a transition to being with the Lord, they can freely, in faith, let go of this life and go and be with the Lord. No, suicide, abortion, and euthanasia are forbidden by the sixth commandment. And I may be preaching to the choir here. I hope I'm not. I hope this is something that equips you. But these are issues which I'm sure come up in the classroom, come up at the coffee pot in the office, issues maybe in your own families. And as a minister of God's word, I'm trying simply to equip you in how to address them from the Bible. The sixth commandment prohibits these things. Well, what does Jesus Christ have to do with the sixth commandment? No murder. Well, if you have your Bibles open, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount deepens and transforms the commandments for us. And he does that for the sixth commandment here. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you," and if I could just for a moment clarify, all right? Notice the distinction in the two verses. "You have heard, but I say." "You have heard, but I say." Jesus here is not referring to the Old Testament. He's referring to the oral tradition of the rabbis. And he's correcting it and correcting their understanding of the law of God and deepening and transforming the real meaning of the law of God, all right? So, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says 'you fool' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, and the judge to the guard, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." Jesus says you can break the sixth commandment with your thoughts. Who amongst us, if we're honest, has not said, "Well, I could just wring his neck"? Your words. How many of you, how many of us, myself included, have spoken words in anger at someone else? Or looks. We have the saying in our society, don't we? If looks could kill. Murderous looks. Or gestures. Maybe you flip somebody off with road rage. Violation of the sixth commandment. Belittling someone, insulting someone, hating someone. Look at verse 23. "So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, first be reconciled to your brother." The priority here is to not only forbid certain thoughts, words, looks, gestures, all right, but to promote the seeking of reconciliation. The seeking of reconciliation. A little bit further down, verse 43 in chapter 5, Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, I don't know about you, but let's be honest this morning. There are things in the Bible that are just really hard. Not hard to believe so much as hard to do. It's one thing to love your neighbor, and Danny Bernard will teach us more about that later today. Most of us find that tough enough to love our neighbor. Jesus here says you're required to love your enemy. The sixth commandment requires that we love our enemy, preserve our own life and the life of others. Well, as I mentioned, if you're honest with yourself, according to Jesus, you and I have been filled with wrath and have expressed that to others by our thoughts, our words, our looks, and our gestures, and so have violated and broken the sixth commandment. What is it that you and I should do? Well, I suggest that you look to Jesus, who in the Garden of Gethsemane, in anticipation of his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary, referred to his crucifixion as a cup, and three times asked the Father that that cup be taken from him. The cup, not of personal anger, not of personal enmity, not of personal antagonism, but the cup of God's wrath against sin, against your sin and my sin. And yet he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And he left that garden, and he was arrested, he was tried, and he was crucified. And on that cross he drank to the dregs, the cup of the wine of the wrath of God against sin. He drank the cup of wrath so that we might be freed from wrath. Let's pray.